It's sad that, you know, you might watch in some of the different programs that are on TV today, they'll do interviews with people on the street and so forth, and they'll ask young people especially, what is Memorial Day? What is it for? What are we observing this weekend? Some people don't even know what we're observing. And then we say, well, it's Memorial Day. What's it a memorial of? And people don't know. And that's sad. And we wonder why our country is in the condition that it is in when people don't know about the freedoms that we have. We wonder why people make the mistake of not honoring the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem, knowing that that flag represents their freedoms to even express their dissatisfaction, if you will, with the way things are in this country. That flag represents the rights of all people everywhere. And when you disgrace the flag, you're disgracing your own freedom to express yourself. I don't want to present a lesson about that, of course, today, but I do want to present some things about along the lines of some things that we must not forget. I couldn't help but think that if you were fortunate enough to be here for the adult Bible study this morning, that you'll notice that one of the things that Isaiah brings forth in those chapters that we were looking at this morning was that the people of Israel had forgot God. They forgot who they were. Oh, they still identified themselves as the children of Israel and God's people, and Jehovah's was their God, but what was His law and what was His precepts, and that they were to have no other gods before them, well, they had forgotten that. And because of that, God was going to have to discipline them and eventually, of course, bring a nation far superior to that of Israel, and that being, of course, the kingdom of Christ. But it's interesting that as you look at the letters that were written to Timothy, especially, an evangelist, he is charged with instructing the brethren in these things. They had been instructed in these things. He's saying this is a continue to instruct brethren in these things. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul reminded Timothy, he says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so here's Timothy, the evangelist, in an age that spiritual gifts were given. Some spiritual gifts had been given to Timothy through the laying on of the Apostle Paul's hands. What those gifts were, we don't know specifically, but we can imagine that they would include the gift of teaching, the gift of knowledge, that you could supernaturally know without having studied. Those types of things would be beneficial, of course, to an evangelist of the first century. But notice that Paul had to remind Timothy to stir these things up. It's easy for us to become lackadaisical in our Christianity, to start taking it for granted. And we need to continue to stir up our following of Christ and remain excited and zealous in doing His will. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14, he says, "Remind them of these things." The children, our brethren of the first century, were no different than people have been from the time of Cain and Abel and onward. That people want to argue with God. It's not that they don't know what God says. They just think, well, why isn't this just as good as what God says? Why isn't this a good way to do things? And all those ideas that we come up with do nothing to profit us in the way of unity and harmony. All they do is divide us. And so he says, remind them of the things that God has given us. When we fail to remind us of God's ways, that's when we start thinking up our own ways of doing things. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, this is the second epistle of Peter, and I've always appreciated what he says here. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And so, Peter is actually saying here in both 1 and 2 Peter, but it's specifically stated here in 2 Peter, that I'm not writing any new thing to you. What I'm writing to you, you know. But he says, I'm writing to you by way of reminder. We need to be reminded of the things of God, or we'll forget them. We'll let them slip, and we'll start thinking that our ways are just as good as God's ways. We must not forget the Lord. This is stated explicitly throughout the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12, he tells them, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. How could you ever forget that? And yet they did. Beware. Well, we couldn't forget God who brought us out of Egypt, who brought us through the Red Sea on dry land, who fed us with manna and quail and water from a rock. We couldn't forget that, but they did. Even when they were on the journey, they forgot the God who had delivered them. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy in verse 11, he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day. How do you forget God? How do you forget who God is? How do you forget who you are and what is expected of you by God? You forget his commandments. You stop keeping his commandments. You forget his judgments. You forget his statutes. And when we start forgetting the Word of God, then we will forget God. That's exactly, of course, what's happened in our country and in other countries. If you've paid attention to the news in the past few days, you're aware of the fact that Ireland has now passed the way for abortion to be performed in Ireland by an overwhelming majority, by 65% or something like that of the people who voted in favor of abortion on demand. Rather striking, in a country that is predominantly Catholic, which, of course, does not approve of abortion. But it shows you how far away people have gotten away from the Word of God. In that country, in this country. Now, the strange thing about that is that while Ireland is now passing a law that makes the way to abortion on demand, our country, it seems, at polls and so forth, seems to be moving away from abortion on demand. We need to keep pressing that. We need to keep reminding people of that we are created in the image of God and how precious life is, and that life indeed is in the womb. We recognize that in endangered animals. We can't destroy the nest of an eagle, or many other endangered animals, or even turtles that crawl out of the ocean and lay their eggs in the sand and so forth. You can't destroy those. Why? Well, there's life there in those eggs. Well, there's life in the womb too. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 14, he says, when your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God. That's right. When we get proud and we start thinking about how smart we are, and we look at the Word of God and we see what it says, but we think, well, that was okay for that day and time, but that principle doesn't apply today. Yes, it does. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 19 says, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you will surely perish. If you forget the Lord your God, there's no hope for you. You will surely perish. That was true of Israel, and it's true of us today. Jeremiah 2 and verse 32 says, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. A bride would not forget that she's going to have a special dress to be married in. As necessary as the bride sees her dress, so also we need to see how necessary it is for us to have God in our lives. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We let go of the most precious thing that we will ever have when we let go of the Word of God. When we forget His Word and we forget His will. You know, in the past couple of weeks, Debbie and I have been busy, I guess you might say, liquefying the belongings of her mother. And she had a lot of things. And they weren't junk things. I mean, there's a little bit of junk, but a lot of the things were nice things. Now, they might have been junk to some people, but they weren't to her. She loved the holidays and decorating for the holidays. By the time we got it all together, she had one garage wall that was full of just Christmas decorations. And then we had a table that was full of Halloween decorations, and another table was full of Thanksgiving, another of Easter. And they were all nice things, and people that came through the garage sale, they just were in awe of the beauty of the things that she collected. But you know, they were just things. And if you were to ask her today, she's in assisted living, of course, and if you were to say, do you remember such and such, she knows exactly what you're talking about and exactly where it was stored in that house. She could go right to it. These are things that were near and dear to her. But they're not hers anymore. They're gone. Somebody else has them, and somebody else is appreciating them. But even at that, they're just things. And as many times as we've tried to study and reason with her from the Scriptures, to this point we've been unsuccessful. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts our soul from following the things of this world and being worldly minded to being heavenly minded. It makes us who are simple, who are void of understanding, it makes us wise. It's the most precious thing that we have at our disposal. It will never die. It will always be with us, even throughout eternity. We must not forget the benefits of the Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Sometimes we sing the song, "Count your many blessings." That's what he's talking about here. Count your blessings. Where do they come from? Did they just happen? No. James 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Now that's certainly true in regards to the spiritual gifts that we have in Christ Jesus. And I think sometimes that's what we go to immediately thinking about, are the spiritual gifts of salvation and the hope of eternal life and freedom of our sins and all of those things. And certainly that's included in this. But when he says every good gift and every perfect gift, he's talking about the physical things as well. Every good thing comes from God and has its existence because of God. Think of that. You know, that the light and oxygen and what we need to live by, every good thing, and you know, we wake up and we have a beautiful day with beautiful temperatures and low humidity, and we think, boy, this is fantastic. Do we rejoice in the fact that this is a day that we're alive and we're healthy and we're able to enjoy these things, and we have the strength and the ability to engage in the work that we're engaged in? Every good gift and every perfect thing comes from God. And think about that. That when we are in heaven, we will be participating in only that which is good and only that which is perfect. There will be no evil thing in heaven. But on the other hand, if we forget God, and if we forget His Word, and we forget to stir up the gift of salvation that is in us and share it with others, then we're going to be separated from everything that is good, and we will be exposed only to those things that are bad and evil and things that we detest. Darkness and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Torment without ease of pain. Don't forget the benefits of God and rejoice in them and honor God and glorify Him for everything that is good. We must not forget the Word of God. And I know this is similar to, you must not forget the Lord. If you forget the Lord, you've forgotten the Word. We've made that point, haven't we? But we must continually come back to the Word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 16, the psalmist said, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your Word." Psalm 119 and verse 153 says, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law." What's he saying? He's saying, you have given me the right to call upon you and to ask you to deliver me from whatever it was that he was experiencing. Because I have kept your law. I am a child of yours. And if I, you know, when we come to the New Testament, we find statements to the effect that we are to ask in faith, believing, that we are to be in Christ. Whatever we ask, it will be delivered to us. There is a reason for our hope that our prayers will be answered. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Because I do not forget your law. I remember it. I discipline myself, practice self-control to find myself doing what you teach me in your word. And you have granted me the privilege of being able to ask you for deliverance. Verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Of course, as you read this, you say, well, if you were keeping his commandments, how did you go astray as a lost sheep? We make mistakes, don't we? What the psalmist is expressing here is that, you know, it wasn't just a mistake. I knew what I was doing. I knew I was doing the wrong thing. I've come to my senses. Your word calls me back to your side. I repent and confess. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we do so. Don't forget the Word of God and the wondrous blessings and promises that are found within it. We must not forget the works of God. Psalm 78 and verse 7 says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. What works are those? Well, it's the work of creation, the work of deliverance, the work of salvation, God's victories over evil, seemingly without effort on his part. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Don't forget the works of God. Don't take today for granted. Don't take the sun rising in the east and setting in the west and the moon following the same path for granted. Don't take weather for granted, life for granted. It's so easy for us to do. Those who claim to be atheist have really taken all of the glories of God for granted, haven't they? As if they've just always been here. It just happened. There's nothing that is so intricate in design as all of the laws of nature and science that go to produce and support and sustain life upon this earth as the wondrous works of God. Certainly this design demands a designer. A designer that lives outside this design, that could design it. He's not subject to the laws of time or space or any of these things that you and I are subject to, and that we live harmoniously within. Such a grand designer do we have in the Almighty God. We must not forget that life is short. This thought was made clear to me in the last couple of weeks. It's been made clear to all of us, hasn't it, with the passing of Sister Sherry Ford and now Dwayne's father. Life is short. Even though they lived a full life, those who loved them would say they didn't live long enough. They wish they were still here. If you've lost your mother or your father, you wish they were still here. They lived a full life, but it wasn't long enough, was it? Psalm 89 and verse 47 says, "Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men?" You can't help as you read that second part of that question to think about the book of Ecclesiastes and Solomon in his attempt to find out what life is all about. And he tried everything that appeals to us of a carnal nature and everything that man says is important. And he says, "Now this is not it. That's futility. That's vanity. It's emptiness." And he finally comes to the conclusion, revere God and keep His commandments. This is the whole purpose of man. To revere God, to love God, and keep His commandments. For by doing so, we live to the praise of His glory. We show that divine image within us when we conform to His image by the keeping of His commandments. Consider how God has expressed to us how short time is and the ways, the things He's compared it to. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, 20 and verse 3, He says, "Your life is as a step. Job 14 and verse 1, He says, our life is a few days. Chapter 7 of Job in verse 6, it says, "Life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Psalm 37 and verse 25, the psalmist reflects, "I once was young, now I'm old. I don't remember growing old. It seemed like I was young, now I'm old." That's what he's saying. And those of us who have lived long enough to say, you know, he's right. I don't remember growing old. I remember everybody used to say, "Well, you're so young." And now everybody says, "Have you retired yet?" I must not look young anymore. Psalm 90 in verse 9 says, "Your life is like a tale told." It'll be a memory for a little while. Your children and grandchildren will remember you for a little while, but it will be a tale that will pass into oblivion, and no one will know who you were. Psalm 103 and verse 15 and 1 Peter 1 and verse 24 says that our life is like grass. Isaiah 39 and verse 12, it's like a shepherd's tent. You know, a shepherd's tent is made to be taken down and moved. It wears out. If you've ever had a tent, even modern tents today, if you leave them out in the sun, they don't last very long. Tent making was a pretty good business in the day and time when people were living in tents, because tents weren't made to be permanent. They wear out within just a few seasons. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 says, "Your life is but a moment. So indeed life is short." We must not forget Lot's wife. Luke 17 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife? Don't look back. What did she do? She looked back. Don't look back. Luke 9 and verse 62, Jesus said to them, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." They rejoice to become a Christian, to have their sins forgiven, to be walking in newness of life with Christ. But they start looking back to the pleasure of sin and want to walk in that way. Like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and all of a sudden they don't have any food and they start remembering, well, we had food back in Egypt. But you didn't have your freedom. We must always be looking forward to Christ, to our heavenly home, to living for Him and glorifying Him. What is God's view of those who look back to their sin? 2 Peter 2 and verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog is turned to his own vomit and a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Why was it better for them if they had never known the way of truth? Think how much torment is heaped upon the one who finds themselves separated from God in eternity, knowing that at one point in their life, they had escaped from that place. But they turned back. They turned back to the pleasures of sin for a short period of time. They gave up an eternity of joy and happiness in the presence of God and the heavenly host for a short moment of carnal pleasure. We must not forget Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1 through 6, Brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also have you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. The Corinthians were saved by the gospel. But he says, your salvation is only secure if you hold fast, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, or Peter, then by the 12, and after that He was seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Don't forget. Don't forget the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Psalm 9 and verse 17, The wicked shall be turned to hell in all nations that forget God. Don't forget Jesus. Just as this lesson began by remembering the Lord and remembering the Lord by keeping His commandments, these same principles apply to us. Remember Jesus. Remember His Word. Remember the doctrine of Christ. And we must not forget the consequence of our sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. James 1 and verses 14 through 15, each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, spiritual death, separation from God, here and hereafter. Revelation 20 and verses 12 through 15, the Apostle John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. That includes us. We're going to be in this number. the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Don't forget what's written in the books. Don't forget to do what's written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to their works, in accordance to the things that were written in the books. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Don't forget what's written in these, in the books. Don't forget to do what's written in the books. Don't forget that Jesus is our only Savior. Are you in Him? Do you know Him? Do you acknowledge God and how great He is and how great His love is for us, that He gave His only Son that we might not perish but have eternal life? Trust Him and obey Him. Turn from your sin. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins this very day. And embrace the wondrous blessings that are available to us only in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you would acknowledge that you've forgotten the things of God, you've forgotten to do the things of God, you've turned back, you need to make things right with Him, let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way at all, please come as we stand and sing this song.